Today is June 18th, 2023. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers amongst our fives or listeners, like a father. Today, I want to talk about more Google death and destruction.
And I will talk about the beach. So we'll point counterpoint. You talk about something depressing, I will talk about something relaxing.
Okay. First up, and this is not unexpected, but I got an email the other day, which was actually kind of nice, that I was sent email that my very first Chromebook, my Samsung Chromebook Plus, is ending support this August after 5 years of upgrades. And you know, I'm okay with that because the Samsung Chromebook Plus hardware failed before the software updates. The screen is flickering and there's nothing to do. I guess I could go in and take a look at the connectors, but I don't see the point of doing heroic measures to fix that Chromebook. Oh, it was a great Chromebook. I really enjoyed it. My very first Chromebook. So there's that. And then I got another email from Google saying that you are receiving this email because you viewed an album archive recently. I don't remember doing that. And that you may have content in that archive that starting July 19th, 2023, album archive will no longer be available. Recommend that you use Google Takeout to download your copy of your album. I didn't even know I had an album archive.
Yeah, I looked up mine because I got that same email and okay. I was lazier than you. I didn't even bother looking at what it was because I thought, well, that's something obviously, if I've not missed it till now, I didn't miss it. And it was 1.2 megabytes of files.
Yeah.
And all I can figure is this was Google Photo Assets before Google Photos was a thing. Because it was stuff from Blogspot and
yes.
stuff from Hangouts. And
yes.
So prior to Google Same. Photo launch, it's just kind of funny that these were sitting somewhere in a special Google bubble
right.
that they've now decided to get rid of. But they didn't just merge it into my photos like they could have done for the last 10 years.
Right. Literally the last 10 years. Because the dates on my photos, and I only have like 4 photos that were in my archives. I think they're all dated 2013. Mm-hmm. So, whatever it was, farewell. We hardly knew ye. We didn't remember you.
It was just blob storage. You know, back when Google was building all of their stuff that they now have killed most of, they stored things probably in places we never really thought about. Just,
yeah.
you know, blobs in databases or file stores. And, you know, they realized at some point, hey, this all belongs to this user. But that was never exposed to us. And then as they started building storage systems like Google Photos and Google Drive, it became, well, what do we do with all this little storage that we've got hiding in various places? And so I think they dumped it into products like this, and now they want to get rid of that. So I had a blog, for example, called Sign Humor, where I found signs that I thought were particularly funny. And those, I have like 20 of them, and they were in that takeout. So it was stuff like that that got put in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, it's good that Google notifies you when they're going to, you know, do away with one of your things. This one isn't so sad because like you, I didn't even know it existed and I was surprised at what it had. It had like two personal photos, one of which was sent via Google, Google Meet, I guess, back then. That I transmitted mm-hmm. to somebody, and that was sort of interesting. More sad. Is that even English?
Sadder.
Yeah. More sad like that, as we say in Hawaii. Even sadder for me though. Well, I guess this was Google Archives wasn't album archives was sad. Google Domains is shutting down September of
this
year.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
that was a pretty crazy one.
So. And you know, a number of years ago, I was on I was on two or three different domain registrars, and I decided to consolidate under Google because A, it was cheaper. I think it's $12 a domain. And B, I figured, oh, Google will be around for a while, you know. And it's true, Google will be around for a while, but Google Domains will not. The article I read in 9to5 Google says that the assets are being sold and migrated to Squarespace. I guess Squarespace is now going to be a domain registrar. As well as a
Squarespace. Who knows what Squarespace is?
Oh, I know what Squarespace is. They're a web hosting. Yeah, yeah.
No, you were calling them Squareface.
Oh, Squareface.
For a minute there. So which I'm curious about. I probably shouldn't look it up, but
if there's a square face. But Squarespace is, you know, well, we know who they are, so that's good. They're really tiny compared to Google, obviously. Well, everybody's tiny compared to Google. I hope they don't, like, double the price or anything. That's all I can say.
They probably will. Yeah. But that is modern day Google reality. And every time I think I really need Google to step up, then they do weird things and kill products. And I don't know, everyone kills products, but it seems like
yeah.
Google kills products before you're thinking, like, you know, when Apple killed Ping, which nobody remembers because
Ping
nobody
FM.
Used it. Nobody cared. No, Ping was just like their social media thing inside iTunes back right. in like 2010, 2011. Yeah. When they killed that, nobody cared because nobody used it in the first place. Right. When Google kills something, people are generally still using it, which is a bizarre thing sometimes. But
well,
yeah.
You know, the old adage in Silicon Valley was fail fast, right?
Mm.
With Google, it's kill fast.
Yes.
Because they're not failures. I don't think any of the things they've killed were failures. You know, some were not gigantic successes, but you wouldn't call them failures.
Well, that was just it. They weren't the success that Google wanted them to be. They were a success for anyone else except Google. So that's, yeah. I think, the frustration that many people have is that true. If this was another company that was content to be a smaller company, then we'd still have it. But Google wants Google. And so they will get rid of things that aren't Google-ish enough.
Yeah. I wonder what else is going to go, you know, like Google DNS and Google VPN and other Google things that most people never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But unimportant
to those
back.
Are Google graveyards out there, and there's graveyards for all tech products. But it would be really interesting. I wonder which tech company has killed the most products per... You know, given they're obviously older companies are going to have more opportunity to kill products.
Right.
But I wonder if you looked at, you know, their average number of products killed per year, who has the highest body count, you know?
That's an interesting question. I'm going to probably say Google. They're in the fail fast,
like
kill fast.
It seems like it should be, but I'm curious. I'll have to do some digging if I'm bored. Or I'll ask an AI and it'll give me a wrong answer. But.
Speaking of AI, I just read the other day that the Tokyo municipal government is going to officially, I don't know if the word is even sanction, I think require their staff to use ChatGPT to kickstart, you know, kind of common tasks like, you know, replying to questions and things like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, they Japan seems to be very accepting of our AI overlords, as am I, to our AI overlords, we welcome you, or I welcome you. I won't speak for John, but please don't destroy me when you take over the world.
As I tell my students, I will be a very loyal under dictator of the Caribbean. So just, you know, give me that. You don't have to worry about any uprisings or anything else.
Yeah. So goodbye, Google Domains. Goodbye, Google Album Archive, and goodbye to my first Chromebook. Well, it's actually not usable anymore because, like I said, it's Flickr's, display Flickr's, but still, it served me well instantly, and it convinced me to buy like 4 more Chromebooks over the years. So it couldn't have been all bad, you know. I shouldn't say it like that. I really like the Samsung Chromebook Plus. It was a great device for its time. Alrighty. And that's all the things that I can think of Google's just killed, you know, just this week. There's always next week.
There's still time. It's Sunday. They could do more this evening for all we know.
Yeah. No kidding. Any rate, beach tech, did you go to the beach?
Yeah. So I went to the beach a couple of weeks ago and I got me thinking a lot about tech on the beach and when you take tech places and when you don't. And so the first thing that I used to always take to the beach with me was a Kindle, e-ink Kindle. And this last trip, even, you know, I've had it for a while. I bought it in 2016. The charging on it can be a little finicky at times. So I thought this time, you know, I have a paperback and I'll just take the paperback and go read that. And it reminded me that for a beach, even though an e-ink display is great and a Kindle is nice, you don't care about a paperback. You know, if the paperback falls in the sand or if you leave it somewhere, it gets wet, whatever, you don't care because it was probably $5. And you can get another copy if you really need to. So I think that's an interesting observation of when tech is not perhaps optimal because you just, you know, what the thing that isn't going to work out as well. Plus, the book I'm reading is a very strange book in that it's only available as a paperback right now. There's no e-version. Yeah.
That's rather unusual.
Last time you ran across a book that had no e-version, authorized, unauthorized. Yeah, it's bizarre. But anyway, the next dilemma that you see on the beach is to take your phone, an Apple Watch with cellular, or just an Apple Watch or nothing. You know, on the beach, plenty of people I saw wanted to take photos of themselves or other things or take pictures of the water. Of course, the problem with that is if you're going to be on the beach for a while, you're going to be in the sun. And phones don't tend to like hot sun. They tend to overheat. They tend to get cranky about that. So what I've done for a while now is I have an Apple watch with cellular. And really, this is the only time I use the cellular on my Apple Watch, which is kind of... You know, you could argue, why am I paying for it if I'm only going to use it once a year if I go to the beach? But yet, it didn't work itself out. There were two times. One was a person leaving me a voicemail that I'm definitely glad I was able to check from the watch because it was an issue with the place we were staying at. Security was letting me know that a friend's car had been left running and you should probably go turn it off. I mean, that was after it ran all night. That necessitated a trip to a gas station. But, you know, it was good to get that when I was getting it instead of 2 hours later when I got back to where my phone was.
Right.
And the other was I had someone message me and I saw an email come in and I was able to literally, while standing in the ocean, reply back and get something, you know, straightened out that would have been more annoying to have to deal with later. So... Apple Watches, but again, if you're only going to use it once a year, you have to wonder about that. I don't know. Are there places you go without your Apple Watch or your phone?
No.
It's a weird world, you know? That is also the weird thing when you go to a beach and you're thinking, wow, this is an opportunity for me to leave my phone in a car or leave it in a room or not take it with me. It feels very strange. And there were a few times where people would say, can you take a picture with your phone? It's like, I don't have my phone. And they look at you like, what? You don't have a phone?
Yeah, weirdo. Get away from him.
Then, you know, thinking about beaches, I also think about the bag that you take. And I found a backpack that's $28 on Amazon.
That's a good price.
In our show notes.
Yeah,
it's a collapsible backpack that includes a wet pocket. So if you've got something that, you know, got wet at the ocean school or something like that, like you, and you want to put something in there to kind of keep it away from your tech or from everything else, that's a nice thing. And plus, with it being collapsible, it fits in your travel bag or whatever you want to use it as. So it's actually a pretty decent backpack in terms of organization. Yeah. Next beach tech dilemma, audio. This is one that I found very interesting. So I have AirPods Pro, and I brought my AirPods Pro to the beach one day of the 7 days I was there. And it was just because I knew I was going to be alone for a while. I thought I'll listen to music, and I did that. I did get a little bit of sand in the case that I had to, you know, clean out, but not a big deal. But this is more about... Go ahead.
I was just saying, that's what compressed air is for.
Yes. But while we were there on that later that day, I did notice a beach faux pas. Which is when people bring their own Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah, the waterproof ones.
The waterproof ones that, I gotta tell you, not only are they annoying to everyone else around you, they also don't sound that good. Because apparently there are a ton of them on Amazon that you can pick up that are for waterproof applications and this and that. They are horrible speakers. And the group in front of me that set up theirs, you know it's bad when they can't hear themselves over their speaker So they literally took their speaker and put it behind their chairs, pointing away from them, directly at me, about 20 feet away, so that they could hear each other over a tinny, horrible speaker.
Instead of just turning the volume down.
Yes. And I was very close to actually going up and asking them to just turn it off.
Right.
Because I was curious what the reaction was going to be of someone, you know, because you're used to people come up to you and say, hey, can you turn that down? I was just curious what their reaction would have been if I said, hey, could you just turn that off? Because that's not usually a request people give. Friendly.
FYI, John, FYI, I just looked it up. You can buy a Bluetooth jammer on Amazon.
You know, I had thought about that. As I was sitting there, I was thinking, there has to be tech.
Oh, wait,
That would allow you to do that. And I unfortunately did not own one. And I don't know. I assume that those are illegal. You probably can't interrupt other people's...
Well, Bluetooth is not a licensed frequency, right? So cellular, that's a problem. But unlicensed frequencies, you don't want to go messing with government microwave frequencies, no. But I don't think Bluetooth is a problem.
Well, this might be a game changer for the next trip to the beach. It was an interesting experience. It's interesting to see people and how they use tech. And like I said, this group, they wanted to listen to music. They didn't seem to be listening to it, though. It seemed to just be the background sound that they wanted, and they couldn't even talk to each other over it, so they pointed it away from them. I'm starting to think, when it comes to beach tech, even after someone who for years carried a Kindle and my phone would be turned off in my bag so it didn't overheat, and Apple Watch on my wrist and AirPods and all that, I'm starting to really think that you want less. Paperback, Apple Watch, and maybe a Bluetooth jammer if you're into that sort of thing. I will say that I was quite happy thinking about jamming, but did not jam.
Okay, now FCC disagrees with me. I believe they know. What do they know? Wait a minute. Maybe I'm still right. This is the use of phone jammer, GPS jammer, interfered authorized radio communications violation of federal law. Yeah, that's what I said. But I don't know. But at any rate, you can go. There's another place called the Signal Jammer blog that tells you how to block Bluetooth. I'm so curious.
Well, if only you lived in a place near beaches that you could test this out on.
But, you know, I have to say that, and I don't live too far from a beach, but it's not like a real crowded one, so... Mm-hmm. I've never seen anybody with a speaker annoying anybody, so there was actually nothing to test.
Like I said, it was more just amusing to me that someone would go to the trouble of bringing tech out there that could get damaged, even if it is ruggedized, and set it up and start using it, and then realize it was annoying them. And so instead of turning it off, they just pointed it the other direction.
I'm just going to put a note, Bluetooth jammer, to look it up for the future. Because, I'm an old man now, and I can just, hey, you get off of my lawn.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that. But otherwise, tech-wise, my trip was pretty uneventful in terms of, obviously, using tech was nice. Got some very good portrait mode pictures on the beach and things like that. So I was appreciative of that. I was in an area of Florida that was a little bit of what I would call older Florida, so some interesting beachside attractions and shops and things like that. So I was glad to have my phone with me to take those photos. But most of the time the tech was just sitting in my pocket and I was enjoying having conversation with other people. But that was kind of my experience over the time I was gone, while I was gone for a week, and then last week we didn't record. Tech for vacations is an interesting thing. I will also point out that in a previous podcast, I think it was in March, I talked about my tech travel setup as finally being a useful bag travel setup, and I will again say that the Nomadic Collapsible Collection is a pretty good tech setup if you're looking for some bags that you can easily pack, unpack, roll up, and collapse into each other. And the backpack that I've been using from Linus Tech Tips has been working really well. So,
oh yeah, that was kind of expensive, as I recall. But
yeah, it was a $250 backpack, yeah. Which is expensive if you have never bought expensive luggage. But it's right in line with the a lot of travel luggage.
Yeah, well, actually, it's cheaper than a lot of other well known, but you wouldn't consider them luxury brands, but
yeah.
Yeah,
I will say one piece of tech that I got a lot of use out of, and I've actually gotten a lot of use out of it more than I thought I would last year, is the Ray-Ban glasses.
The speakers?
Yeah, well, they have cameras in them, too. The Ray-Ban, I can't remember the name of them. Let me see. Here's the annoying thing is that the software is by Meta. So you think to yourself, it's going to be horrible. Ray-Ban Stories is the name of the smart glasses. And I use those quite a bit because we were doing things with a group of people and there were kids running around and it was, hey, let's just take it'd be great to get a picture of this or a video of that. And each day we were able to get, these little short videos. So if you're interested in being able to covertly take video and you want a Meta product that is not horrible, the Ray-Ban Stories, I bought them last year at this time, and I've gotten a fair amount of use out of them. They've been a really useful tool to have to get those pictures and videos, and they don't look obtrusive or giant. They look like
Ray-Bans.
Glasses, yeah.
Have you tried it in like a roller coaster or anything yet?
Yes, I have. They stay on.
All right.
Yeah, when I was at Disney last year, I did take some video from the, going over hills and roller coasters and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. To me, that's the use case of choice with things like that. Before we go on, I did want to note that the reason John and I are not discussing WWDC this week is not because we don't care. We do a lot. But because I was out ill last week, I had a cold or something, we skipped a podcast that included a bunch of our friends, including Steve Hughes and Sven Johansson and Don Sorcinelli. So we're going to regroup, and they weren't available today. And I don't know, Father's Day? I don't know. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
they aren't available this week. So we're going to regroup next weekend and speak in earnest about what we thought about it. My preview thought is that, holy cow, those Apple VR glasses are expensive.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's a surprise.
I am so tempted. And it's going to be hard for me to resist those. Because this is really, the stuff they've been showing off is stuff I've been wanting for a while.
Do it, John.
In the past, I've almost bought, the glasses that let you watch movies and things like that. And yeah, there's just some real cool stuff there. So
I think you should do it.
I got time. Got time to save up.
Yeah, because it's next year, right? It's not like you can buy it this summer.
Let's see. So we'll say conservatively 180 days from now.
Yeah.
It'll be available. So if I start saving about $20 a day.
Yeah.
I'll have myself have everything built up. It is when you think about it. If I was including tax, because that's $19.44 would be $3,500 divided by 180. So.
And remember, I think you have to have prescription lenses for that, since you are a glasses wearing person.
I have contacts. I'll just wear contacts. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am not planning to buy it, but I will say this, and we'll get into it next week with our buddies next week, but I was also the person that said, this iPod thing, it's way too expensive for a music player. It's never going to catch on. I was also the person that said, this iPhone, this unsubsidized iPhone from Apple, that's way too expensive. This thing is never going to catch on. So... when I say something's too expensive, it's never going to catch on. Take it with a grain of salt, because I have had, let's call them miscues in the past, which is why nobody hires me to be a future fortune teller.
Well, they might just go against you.
But that said, I too am intrigued by by those things. I may wait for the Vision Amateur, which hopefully will be cheaper than the Vision Pro. As a retired person, perhaps I am not worthy of a professional outfit, and the Apple Vision Amateur might be more my speed. Vision Nano, how's that?
Mm.
Yeah, no lenses. Can actually see. For those that remember, the iPod Nano had no screen, and we all were like, what?
Well, that was the iPod Shuffle, I think.
Right. Yeah. The Nano had a screen, a little tiny screen, which is great. That was my first iPod. You're right. The Shuffle had no screen, and we all went, huh? But less is best when sand is involved. You know, in Hawaii, we're kind of surrounded by sand, so I think we're just used to it.
You're just stuck with it. Yeah. It's got to be there.
Yeah, we just deal with it, you know? But yeah, okay, now... This is a surprising topic because we're very apolitical on this podcast, but please do tell.
Well, this is something from my travels that I thought was very interesting. Okay. So I got a list of items here. I would just like you to tell me which political side of the spectrum, right or left, you associate these with.
Okay.
Okay. Avocado toast.
Tree-hugging millennials.
American flag, stars and stripes.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go rightward, but really it's central. I mean, you know, it's like everybody is not a traitor to the country.
Yeah. Christian radio.
Oh, that's got to be right.
Okay. Right? Honey cold brew coffee.
I don't even... that sounds like some new age tree hugging thing. I don't know. Okay. What is that? Sounds good.
You'll love this list when we get to it. An acai bowl.
Acai,
whatever.
I like them. It's for anybody, right? Why would you not?
Yeah.
Like
okay.
It?
Okay. Bald eagle top logo.
Wait. What's a top logo?
You know, at the top of a logo, a bald eagle.
Oh. Gee, you know, I'm an army brat, so I've seen this stuff my whole life. I don't know what to think. I'm going to go middle to right.
Okay. Kombucha.
Yeah. It sounds like a tree hugging thing to me.
Okay. And cronuts. Oh. Salt donuts or layered donuts.
Yeah. I've actually tried it. That's a yuppie thing. So I'm going to say that's kind of a, you know, tree hugging thing.
Okay.
I can't see why anybody wouldn't enjoy it. Personally.
Would you be shocked if I told you all of these were in the same establishment?
Yes, I would.
So I ran across the donut chain that was on vacation, and they're a small chain that's growing. They started in 2019 called Parlor Donuts, and I just thought this was the most hilarious mashup of if you wanted to appeal to everyone in the United States today, you had to think about this stuff. Their menu looks like it was, you know, the quintessential millennial, liberal-leaning, leftist, you know, sort of stuff on there. But yet their decor is more, you know, patriotic, right-wing. They do play Christian radio in their stores.
But you were in the South, so that's not unusual, right? Isn't that sort of just mainstream?
They do have locations all over.
And, oh, they do.
You know, I found it very interesting. They're looking
into locations.
I'm in their Krispy Kreme breakout phase right now of donut stardom. But I thought I would share that if you're looking for decent donuts, and they do have decent donuts if you like layered donuts or cronuts.
Yeah.
But just the walking in and going, something here does not seem to compute. I would think in this hyper-political world, you would align one way or the other.
It does look like that the vast majority of their locations are east of the Texas panhandle, with a location somewhere in Colorado and somewhere in San Diego, it looks like. So I'm going to say it's kind of, most of their locations are kind of in a line starting in Chicago and going all the way down to Florida. So it's kind of in that... I guess you could call it a breadbasket down to the...
Well, and what you notice is a lot that they go through more swing states. You know, going through swing states that are, you know, purple states in a sense, or places that are mostly one ideology but have little pockets of other ideology in them. So It doesn't really surprise me that they're trying to appeal to everyone, and I think a donut shop should appeal to everyone.
Hey.
I don't think you should politicize food, but it's amusing.
I should say I will also say that, you know, as a person who, as you know, John, has been aging rapidly and had to adjust my diet, they have several keto donuts and several gluten-friendly vegan donuts. Well, one, I guess. They also have one for dogs. They have a dog donut. So it's not just for everybody, but also dogs.
Yeah. So if you're near one of these places and you haven't checked them out, they're decent to check out. Prices are reasonable. The food is good. The avocado toast is very tasty.
Yeah.
But you'll if you let the decor speak to you and you are on one side, you will go, I'm not even going to try that place, but you should give it a shot. And if you just look at the menu, this doesn't look like my kind of donut place, too fancy. Go in and try it anyway. You'll enjoy it.
They've got a big menu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, aside from donuts.
Well, they all have, it's basically one donut. You know, the stuff on top. Is just one
except for the keto.
Dress it up. Yeah, the ketos are different. They actually are
the
their own dough and everything.
Yeah.
But so when you look at their, however many donuts this is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have something like, 24 different types of cronut. It's all one cronut with just different toppings. Yeah, yeah.
And they have a bunch of coffees and they have ones called ice. I guess it's a matcha coffee. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Iced matcha. I would think that's a tea, but could be wrong.
I believe that should be a tea.
Yeah.
I hope it's tea.
Yeah. Although a matcha coffee does sound interesting. A couple of juice and kombucha, as you said. Pineapple, lemon, mint, orange. This sounds really good. And a couple of breakfast things like avocado toast and acai bowl that you mentioned. And avocado breakfast taco.
See? When we put off talking about WWDC for a week, we get into donuts.
Yeah.
So maybe this is meaning we should have a new spinoff podcast of donut views or pastry views.
There you go. And I just want to say, Parlor Donuts, if you're looking for a small podcast to test advertising, we would be happy. We would be happy to talk about your donuts and your decor. And if you ever want to come out to Hawaii, let me know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of food, I did try something. You know, I just read that Instant Pot is going bankrupt. They're filing Chapter 11.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was kind of crazy. I joked that Parlor Donuts was in their Krispy Kreme phase, so they're expanding mildly, and then hopefully they won't collapse, kind of like Krispy Kreme did.
Yeah.
But I guess Instant Pot probably had that same problem. They expanded wildly. They sold Instant Pot to everyone who wanted one.
Yeah, they sold two to me.
Yeah, and then they sold an upgrade, and then they sold an air fryer or something like that. Now everyone just has enough of it. Or it's like, okay, time for you to go out of business.
That said, speaking of donuts, which I'm not supposed to eat, generally speaking, except the keto one I could probably eat. So I'm not on a true keto diet because, I think that's a little extreme. But I am on a low-carb, low sugar, diet, I guess you'd call it. And I have been craving a cake. I've been wanting to eat a cake for about 3 years now. And so I thought, 50 pounds later, maybe I deserve a cake, but maybe not a real cake. So I went to Amazon and I found several keto cake mixes. It doesn't say you can make it in an Instant Pot, but I said, well, what the heck, I'll try. Because my Instant Pot has a button labeled cake.
Mm.
And so I tried it. I had to monkey around with it's a mix, so it's not much of a recipe, but I had to monkey around at a few of the ingredients, as they say. And boy, it's pretty decent. My wife and daughter who tried a piece of the, I made a, what did I make? I made a yellow cake and a chocolate cake. They were not all that impressed, but they can eat a real cake. So from their point of view, it's like, but for me, it was like, hey, this is cool. Now I got to go look for a keto fudge or something.
When I was losing weight quite a bit, I did try some keto cake mixes and things like that. Some are not bad, but to those that are not trying to be keto, they will generally not be easy.
Yeah, but
some of the mixes are horrible. So oh, are they? You do have to be very careful about some of these things.
Yeah.
But so if you find a place that does good keto, then go for it.
Yeah, I did find a mix that did pretty well, and I can't remember what it is at the moment. And if they want me to say their name, they can pay us. But
yes,
Food Views.
We're just branching out, you know.
Actually, I'm getting hungry looking at this now. But at any rate, I'm looking at the Parlor Donuts menu, which is awesome looking. Alrighty then. So next week we're going to gather up with some of our buddies and talk about WWDC, you know, with a few weeks between us, you know, perhaps with fewer stars in our eyes. Things like, why does everybody, I'll save this question for you for next week, but start thinking about it. Why do so many people say that Apple should get rid of MacBook Air 13 and only have a 15? I do not understand this rationale at all.
Yeah, or this desire. We can talk about.
Because I think if you want a 15, that's fine. It's too big for me. I've got a 13 sitting in front of me right now. It is great. You know? John is
showing Tom actual photos of Parlor Donuts.
They look good.
You know? Yeah, they are.
They look very, very good. If you go to the Northwest, I think there's one called Blue Star Donuts that are really, really good. You know, not as famous as Voodoo Donuts, but really, really good. Any rate, back when I could eat such things. Or maybe I shouldn't have been eating it back then, but I didn't know. at any rate, so things like that, some of your thoughts about it. You know, I don't have AirPods Pro 2, which I guess is the only one that's going to get some of the new features, some of the new noise reduction features. So I will look forward to you getting those updates and telling me how they work for you. And I think Swen and I are both expecting to get our non-Apple devices, our Google Pixel tablets, sometime before the next podcast. So I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. It solves the problem of my Echo Show starting to blink out of existence. Yeah, it's blinking at me as I look at it. And my Lenovo Smart Display going out of support because Google won't support. Another, you know, thing Google's killing is support for non-Nest devices. Okay, well, I don't know how nasally I sound, but I think I'm over my cold. I am not shedding virus. I still sound nasally. And I will talk to you next week. This has been MobileViews Podcast. Whatever the heck number it was, I lost my notes. 462. And we'll talk to you next week.